Dreams are one of the most valuable and accessible tools available to every single person on the planet. From ancient Mesopotamia to the surface of the moon, dreams have contributed to the evolution of the human race. Hey there, I'm Meg, an oracle and dream interpreter. I help people discover the psychological and spiritual information available to them in their dreams. This podcast is a gateway designed to teach you how to interpret your own dreams, what to do with the information that you uncover, and expand your understanding of self. Join me on this journey as I dive into the very real dreams of individuals across the globe. This is a gateway to the world of dreams. This is the Dream Axis. Hello and welcome to another episode here on the Dream Axis. Today we have a conversation with Lizzie, and we explore not only a dream interpretation that's pretty psychological in nature, but about 20 minutes in, we get to the real crux of this episode, which is a direct message about time. Now, we end up discussing time as its own energy or entity. And this is just such a fascinating conversation because I think this message is meant to not only come to Lizzie and myself at the time that we recorded this, but to each individual listener in the time that you listen to this episode. Whatever you've been experiencing in your life, whatever is going on right now, whatever situations are shifting, or, you know, if you're feeling a little stuck, or if things aren't going in the exact time frame that you think they should be happening, whatever it is, this message is meant to be heard by you whenever you come across it, because time is always there for us. Throughout this episode, you'll pick up on the many signs and synchronicities between Lizzie and I. We dive into the Mandela effect. We talk about octopus in the dream space as well, which is kind of fun. We're coming back to, I think it was episode 2 or 3, we had an octopus as well. This is a different definition because each dream space is unique in its own imagery language, but it's just fun to see that coming around again. And we also talk about the different seasons of our lives and the people that come into them and who we're meant to connect with. If you've been looking for a message or a sign, this episode is probably it. So without further ado, let's just dive right in. Hello and welcome to another episode here on the Dream Axis. My name is Meg Bartlett, and today I'm here with Lizzie from Fresno, California. Lizzie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you. If you would like, go ahead and share your dream with us, please.
Okay. So my dream happened maybe like about a week or two ago, and it was me outside of a restaurant. And you could think about it like if it was a red carpet event or something, and I was dressed up really nice. So I go up to the hostess who's like preparing vegetables, like appetizers. And I tell her, hey, I don't eat meat, you know? And so she's like making these cucumber slices with like really nice, beautiful spices on it and like seasoning. And like if you would put like lemon and salt, but like be a little bit extra with it, make it super fancy. And it was like this 2 or 3 tier tray that I was holding that she was loading up with the cucumbers, and she put it on the tray. And then I tell her, I don't eat meat, like just that one time, but she proceeded to put an octopus on the top of the tray, and the octopus was alive. It was moving. And I'm like, why would you give me an octopus? I told you I don't want meat, but I kind of held back and I didn't say it. I said, whatever. And then at one point I had this feeling of, oh, there's a little baby chameleon there. I have to let the baby chameleon at the bottom of the tray. So I put that little baby chameleon there. And she was just like, okay, your party's inside already waiting for you. Nobody guided me. So I'm like walking around this restaurant, trying to find my husband and my family. And like, where are they? Like, you know what I mean? Like, by the time I finally find them, their tables, they're gone. And all my cucumbers are eaten by the octopus and I don't see the chameleon. And I thought, this is the weirdest dream I've had. Because I'm running through this restaurant and each room looks different and I cannot find anybody. And this octopus is eating all my cucumber. And I don't know if it ate the chameleon or if it jumped off. I don't know where it's at.
Poor chameleon. I hope he's okay.
I hope so too, girl. And I just woke up feeling like, this is so weird. I don't like, and I tried to look this stuff up, but none of it resonated with me. And I go, this means something else. I cannot find the meaning. And then it's funny because then I saw your post and I said, okay, let me ask.
Yes. I love it. Okay.
This is really interesting. So let's first, just for our listeners, touch on how you were looking things up and nothing seemed to resonate. So I do love a good dream dictionary, but there are a million different ones online. And you know how sometimes you'll Google, what does this mean in my dream? And then you'll come up with like 20 different definitions. And it's kind of ridiculous how many different things there are out there and different ways of looking at this. But that's a reflection of the many different types of dream spaces and dream languages that exist. So we're definitely going to find something that resonates for you today. But for any of our listeners out there, if you're ever looking up, what does this mean? And if you're just not coming across what seems to be resonating for you or what seems to match with what you were experiencing, listen to yourself and maybe take the different pieces, which is what we're going to do here today, and see if you can individually find what does this mean for me? And then we can weave the story together after that. But let's just go ahead and dive in. So we're outside of a restaurant to begin with. Restaurants in the dream space are one of my favorite things, buildings in general are, because they can represent different forms of thought. So the purpose of a restaurant in our waking lives is for us to go and enjoy a meal. And so we're going to start by talking about food. Food in the dream space for me is representative of experiences. So our physical bodies, right? When we think about that, we have to eat the food, we digest the nutrients, we need to eat food to survive, and then we release what no longer serves us as excrement or whatever. And so when we think about food in the dream space, it's representing the concept of something that's keeping our minds going, something that's mentally stimulating us. So I liken that to experiences in that respect, right? Our brain to keep going needs to digest these experiences, and then we release the parts of the experience that we don't need to carry with us, right? But there are new experiences that continue to shape us, and that's how our life moves forward, right? We keep having new experiences. So when we think about the purpose of a restaurant, I see it as I'm looking for a new experience. There's something that I want to have, and I am deciding to come here, to explore what that is. So the main concept of the dream has to do with a new experience that you're searching for. Does that resonate so far?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, let's keep going. So it's kind of like a red carpet event. You're dressed really nicely and you're talking to the hostess in the front. So I could see this as representing that, like, you are wanting to be as prepared as possible for this new experience. You are ready to dress up. You're ready to show up. You are ready to express through, like clothing in the dream space is usually how we choose to express ourselves or how we want to be seen by others, right? Others will see the clothing and they'll usually come to a conclusion. So you want others to, like almost think that you are ready, you are prepared, you are here, right? Like it's a very, very now almost feeling of like, I am here, I have arrived, right? The red carpet as well is really interesting. So red, I really relate to the root chakra, which is related to our foundation, right? And you're a Reiki healer, so you understand this probably very well. But the red imagery, right? That's really like you're walking on this foundation. Like you know where the foundation is leading. This is a red carpet event. You are ready to show up. This is what you're looking for, this experience. Okay, so let's say we're talking to the hostess and you're telling her only once, I don't eat meat. And so she's preparing this platter for you. Do you not eat meat in your waking life? I just want to make
I
sure.
don't.
Okay. And so when she's making the cucumbers, right? So like this is like when I think of cucumbers, they have a lot of water in them, and water in the dream space, and in almost every culture across the globe, is related to emotion, right? When we think about water, we think about emotion in an imagery sense. So, cucumbers being full of water, they're a very watery vegetable. They're not only nutritious, but they also have a lot of clear emotion, or there's something related to emotion and clearness. We might get more clarity on that later. But it feels like there's something where, like she's preparing something and it looks very delicious, I'm assuming. And it's like she's creating this meal for you to take with you into the back room. Is that correct? Am I interpreting that
That's
right?
correct.
Okay. And then it's interesting though, because even though you told her that you don't eat meat, she puts an octopus on the tray. And so it's almost as if there might be some sort of instance in you're seeking out this experience and you're very prepared and you're stepping into it and you're like, I know who I am and I'm ready for this. But maybe when you start to really show up to this experience, there's just a few things that don't happen the way that you want them to, or maybe they don't fit quite right, or maybe it's just a little weird, where you're just like, ah, well, okay, maybe I'll continue forward. Does this feel right so far?
Yes, in some way, but I want
Okay.
to hear a little bit more to see what you
Yes.
get out of it.
No, that's good. I just want to make sure. Okay. So It's interesting that she takes an octopus and puts it on the tray. We've come across an octopus in the podcast before, but it was very, very early. I think in like episode like 2 or 3, like something like really near the beginning. And I forget exactly how I interpreted that back then. But when I'm thinking about octopus now, number one, it's a sea creature. So we have the water theme again, right? Emotion is still there. This is a creature that lives within emotion. And it has, you know, the 8 tentacles, the number 8, we could look into that more, but that doesn't feel quite right for me. But if any of our listeners are feeling associated with the number 8 listening to this episode, 8 to me is both a number of infinity, right? So it creates the infinity symbol, and it's kind of like everything comes back to the same thing. You know, it's all, you know, everything is connected together. But 8 to me is also a very abundant number. And that's just in my own perception. So if that resonates with you, take it. But it's almost like, you know, it has something to do with seeing and recognizing the abundance that exists around us to begin with, right? It doesn't necessarily have to mean wealth. It could be abundance of love. It could be abundance of connection, abundance of drive or purpose, right? Like feeling very abundant in other senses. But the octopus feels almost intelligent to me. So it feels... I think that's what I'm getting from this, is it feels like it has to do with emotional intelligence more than anything. And it's almost as if, even if you weren't anticipating on receiving the emotional intelligence, right? It's almost as if it's being offered to you regardless of what you think or don't think. I don't think this has anything to do with eating meat specifically, the idea behind that. I think this is more the concept as a whole of, you know, stepping into a new experience. So as you're stepping into this new experience, perhaps you thought you wanted it one way. And maybe that had to do with something emotionally, like you thought this was emotionally going to feel one way or the other, but you're being offered another perspective of emotion. And this has to do more with like that emotional intelligence, right? Like it's going to expand your view of how you can step into this emotionally, or just expand your view of the experience in general. It's not everything you thought, it's even more than you thought it could be, perhaps. Does that resonate for you for the octopus?
Girl, yeah. Definitely. Okay. Yeah.
Do you want to mention what this is for you?
So it's a lot of different things. Like I mentioned, I think while we were, even before you started recording, I'm a Reiki practitioner, level 3. I'm a QHHT intern, and I'm also an energy channel. So I'm doing all these different modalities, and I'm stepping from going to my regular job to doing this a lot more. And every time it comes in different ways, it's showing up not how I anticipated. And it's like, oh yeah, I'm ready to do this. And the moment it happens, I was like, oh, it's not happening the way that I thought it was going to be. I thought it's supposed to be structured this way. It's not. It comes in such a different light. And I'm having to learn how to like have that patience, have that like, okay, let it flow a little bit. So when you said about it not being what I thought is a big thing in the physical, and then emotional too, like just life in general, you know, I'm in my 30s and it's changing a lot with my relationships around me too. So yeah, it's been pretty interesting how it kind of encompasses a lot of different things at one time that are going on with me right now.
And I was going to say too, when we think about stepping into that new experience, even though you might be, you know, approaching this from the perspective of work and purpose and job and doing, right, action, it really is the full human experience that you're stepping into, right? You are choosing to go from something, you know, that you used to be, right? Like the old things that you used to do, or the, you know, like just things from the past, and you're fully embracing this newness. And that doesn't just happen in one area of our life, right? Like that's a full body change. Yeah. So I feel like that might be the purpose of the octopus in here, right? Is like to really highlight your dream space is really highlighting, hey, there is emotional intelligence here that we are being, you know, like that we're stepping into, but it's going to almost ripple effect over our life, you know, like as a whole. Like this is a whole new different learning, right? Like as you learn more about what you're stepping into, you know, and the practice that you're stepping into, the different things that you're helping others heal, it's also going to you know, come back to you with that infinity symbol. Let's take the number 8, you know, and like come back, and it's going to, yes, it's coming back full circle. So we'll take that too, you know, and it's coming back in. And this is fascinating too. Let's keep moving on, because the octopus is alive, right? Like this emotional intelligence is very alive. When I'm going to ask you a question, actually, with the octopus in the dream, were you ever afraid of it at all? Were you curious about it? What was the emotion you had towards the octopus?
I was not afraid of it. it was pink and it was like, oh, cool. It's an octopus. It's alive. Like, I'm not going to eat you. I don't eat live things. Like, I'm carrying it in the tray. Obviously, I'm cool with it, but I'm just like,
Yeah.
better. I remember even thinking, like, you better not eat all my cucumbers. Like, I saw it going for it.
Yes. Okay. That's really interesting that it's pink as well. Pink, right, is more related to that self type of love, right? Which that emotional intelligence that it's representing could be more for yourself, right? So as you're giving out and as you're stepping, into this new practice more fully, right? Like you're really embracing this, moving away from the old job, stepping into the new. This is also giving you some ideas of, hey, maybe this isn't happening how I thought it was because there's something within self love for me to explore or expand or heal myself, right? So as you heal others, you heal yourself, sort of thing, right? That
1000%,
infinity,
girl.
yes, infinity symbol again. Let's bring back that number eight. I think it does have something to do with this. So, you know what? There's something that's interesting that you said as well, because you said how you felt about the octopus, right? You weren't going to eat it, but you wanted it to leave some of the cucumbers for you. So I could see that almost as if you, so sometimes, right, when the universe steps in and it's showing us something and it's not what we thought was going to happen. You are still the creator of your life, right? You are still the deciding factor at the end of the day. Even if you go with the flow, you still direct almost the flow that is going, right? And so I could see this as maybe a part of your subconscious stepping in and saying, okay, I know that this isn't coming in exactly the way that I wanted it to happen, right? Or the way that I thought it was going to happen. And I'm okay with that, but I still want some of the things that I thought I was going to get out of this, right? And it's almost as if there's like, hey, can we meet each other halfway? Can you leave me some of the cucumbers, please? Right?
Oh,
Does that resonate? Perfect. Okay. Now we have the baby chameleon. This is fun. So when I think about a chameleon as well, okay, actually, there's something popping up in my brain. I have one memory with a chameleon, and it was when I traveled to Hawaii. I was visiting my ex, and he was stationed down there. He was in the military. We were both in the military, but he was stationed down there, and we went for a hike, and there were all of these chameleons, and they just kind of take over the Hawaiian Islands. Like you can find chameleons anywhere. And we were just kind of walking around, and they were just like, you could just like lean over and like have one sitting on your finger, right? Like if you just went over to a branch and they're just right there. And for some reason, that's like really popping up. It's almost as if like they're so plentiful is probably the thought process that's coming from that. So there's something plentiful about the chameleon. The chameleon also represents, obviously, the ability to change. It changes color, it changes, to protect itself, to defend itself, to warn predators, all of these different things. It can change itself to fit into the environment that it needs to fit into, right? To survive whatever it needs to step into. This is bringing about like an element of change to it, right? So if there's change in what is plentiful, if I say that phrase, does that mean anything to you?
I feel like, it's more of a mindset thing for me when you say that, like
Okay.
shifting beliefs and stuff like that. It's how I feel it or hear it in my head, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really interesting too. Okay, because then when we think about the baby chameleon as well, so the octopus is on the top of the tray, and then the baby chameleon is on the bottom, right? So the octopus is what you're going to see first, and it's closer to your hand as you're carrying it, right? And it's just like, this is very frontward facing as the emotional intelligence part. But when we get down to the bottom of things, there's this ability to change what is plentiful in your life. So how you perceive what is plenty, right? Like having that abundance. I could really see that as still like an abundance mindset. And this is just like, it can change based on the different areas of your life that you're stepping into. I see you smiling. What's the thought that's running through your head right
Well,
now?
it's funny because now that you're talking more, I'm like, oh yeah, you're right. I do that. Like, I switch off what I think abundance is in my life. And it's not just monetary, it's like health. It's also abundance and freedom of time. It's like I've been feeling so much more abundance in different areas of my life that I didn't feel like I had before.
Yeah,
If that
absolutely.
makes sense.
Absolutely. I love that. So that's what that chameleon represents. And we'll just skip ahead to the bottom here real quick because, or the end of the dream here real quick, because, when you're at the end and you're hoping that the octopus didn't eat the baby chameleon, you're just like, I hope that chameleon, that ability to change with and adapt. Oh, it really adapts. That's the word I've been looking for. It really feels like adaptation to what is plentiful, right? Like changing our perspective, adapting to new environments and seeing that what we thought might be plentiful or bringing in abundance isn't necessarily what's going to be, the end result, but it's going to come in another form. Oh, that's really interesting. And I think the baby chameleon survived. So we'll just go with that.
I'm like, yes, please.
Yes, right. Okay, let's continue onwards. So you have the tray, right? And you're walking through the restaurant and the hostess just kind of directs you. And she says, you know, you can find your table in there and then it's up to you to navigate it. And so this is where, when we look at, you know, where you're stepping into and the whole purpose of this new experience, it's for you to navigate, right? And so the dream is really showing you, hey, maybe right now we feel like, well, let's dive into the dream a little bit more because I think this is going to make more sense when we do. So you're having to set the direction, right? You're having to go and find the party yourself. You have to find what you want yourself, right? But along the way, right, it just takes a lot of time. And by the time that you find where your family was, they've already left the room, right? So it's almost this feeling of like not getting there fast enough is something that you might be experiencing right now. Would you say that's accurate?
Yes.
Okay. What is the purpose of this dream, right? Not only is it helping you identify, this is the new experience I'm stepping into and some of the things that we might be experiencing, right? Like the newness is not what we thought it was going to be exactly, right? But it's able to help us in these other ways and it's showing up in these other ways. There's something about abundance and being able to change what that definition is, right? And feeling plentiful, even if it doesn't look like how we, you know, initially observed. There's that infinity symbol that's coming through. All of this imagery is just showing you where you are now and where you might be able to go. But I think this end part really is more of the message. You have to move through this experience yourself. Only you can do this, right? Because it's something that you desire. But there's no time limit. You might feel like there's a time limit now. And by the time that you reach it, everything will be gone. But that's not accurate, right? Like that doesn't have to be true. It's only true if you allow it to be true. Right. And so it's almost as if this dream is showing you, hey, this is the mindset that we currently have. It's great to have a check-in, right? Like sometimes our dreams really are just like check-in. Like when we dive into it, the dream is like, hey, this is where we're at. This is the observation of our internal conversation going on right now, right? Like this might be where we are. And the purpose of you coming into that information is so that you can do something about it, right? And so I could see this dream message as saying, you know, like, hey, if we're here and if we feel like we have to do this by a certain time frame, and maybe we feel like we're too late, or maybe we feel like by the end of the road that we're on, we're going to be too late to get what we want. I would say the message is that that's not necessarily true. It doesn't have to be true. You can let go of the need to control time because time is your most abundant resource. Ooh, that feels really good. Time is your most abundant resource.
Can I stop you right there? This is not this dream, but this is a dream I had this morning. And I thought time was really weird. So I got this dream and you do not have to interpret this, but the fact that you just said that, like, amplified this even more. So I had this dream where I was being told, hey, you guys need to see time. And it was like this red force field around the earth. And it was labeled as time beings around you, encompassing you guys, but it's not a bad thing. It's blessing you. And then I just saw that force field, like giving blessings. And it's funny that you said that because that was literally this morning. I'm not even kidding you right now.
That's amazing. I have chills as you're saying that too. That's really powerful. That's really funny because so time is your most abundant resource is a phrase that I recently came into contact with because someone else told that to me. And so it's interesting how some of these messages get passed along, right? Like you and I were meant to connect today. We talked about this before the recording.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And so, and it's interesting because I talked to a friend, I think it was just last week, and she said that phrase and it felt really powerful to me and it made sense to me, but I felt like there was something else to do with it. Right. And so this is the universe passing these breadcrumbs along, right? Like passing these pieces of information and making sure that they get where they need to go. But for any of our listeners as well, I think time is our most abundant resource is a bulk message that's coming out recently, right? Like it's meant for many people. So often, right? Like we go through life and we think, you know, oh my God, I'm running out of time. Oh my God, I don't have enough time. Oh my God, I should be here and I should be doing this. And this should be the way that it is, right? And it should happen in this time frame. Should almost goes with time when we think about it, the word should, right? So stop shoulding yourself, right? is another thing as well. But also, you know, like time being an abundant resource, the thing that's popping up into my brain right now too, is you can ask for time. you can ask for time. And so, you know, like sometimes you feel like there's like time glitches. I mean, even your dream from this morning, time was weird, right? It was very different. And you were being shown how different time could be. I could see that also as stepping in. And, you know, if you ask the universe for time, so I don't know if you have a particular practice where you're asking for something or, you know, like there's a particular thing, almost if you rope time into that as well, like just tag it on to the end, you know, like, and I would like more time too, blah, 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 right? Or I would like this to happen in the perfect time, or, you know, like include time. Time almost feels like an energy itself. It is its own entity. It is its own being. And like the universe gives us life, time can give us time, right? And so if you ask time for something, it can then give it to you, but you have to ask it first. Does that make sense?
You're not going to believe this. Yes.
Okay.
I did that this morning after that dream. And I do this Reiki moving meditation. I've been practicing it like 3 weeks now. And I asked my guides and I asked the Reiki spirit and the angels to come in and to connect me physically with divine timing and allow me to be in flow with divine timing. I literally did that this morning.
I love that. I love that. So, okay. So let's go through the timeline of events here because this morning you had that dream about time, right? And then you took that knowledge, that inner knowledge, which you gained possibly or initiated within this dream that you had a week or two ago, right? So when we're thinking about the timeline of this dream, the timeline, we're expanding, right? Like, Yeah. Like this dream is helping you and almost setting the ground for you to understand that time is your most abundant resource and that you don't have to feel like you're not going to arrive in the right time. Right. So this dream is exploring that. This dream is you from, you know, past you from a week or two ago saying, hey, I feel like I need to show up in a specific time frame. I feel like I might be late. All of these things, right? It's not happening in the way that I thought it was going to happen. Then you keep having some dreams and, you know, you're digesting this information subconsciously or not, right? You're still digesting it. Then you have that dream this morning. Then you make the request from time, right? And you incorporate that into your practice. That's your own inner wisdom and knowledge coming through. And now we're having a conversation about it to bring solidity to the message that you received and the actions that you're taking. Yes, you are on the right path and you are doing what you need to do to move through the situation. It's not that you're doing the quote unquote right thing, right? There's no right thing. There's only the thing that we are doing that's in our highest good. And so you are well on your way there, right? Like this is like a confirmation, right? Keep going, keep doing the time, ask time for abundance because time is your most abundant resource. Ooh, I got chills. I love that.
I love that. I love this whole conversation.
and I love as well, like the sea creatures that came up in here as well, like the octopus. Well, I guess a chameleon isn't a sea creature, but I also associate it with that island vibe. You know what? One of the last things that's popping up for me as well. So because chameleons for me, I would think of Hawaii. And I don't know this for sure, right? Like I've only been there once and I haven't lived there, but it feels like, and maybe this is coming from the imagery perspective itself. I think that's more it. So when we think about a beach, right? A beach is the delineation point between earth and sea. So it's like a threshold in a way. And so when we think about an island, that's a threshold between the sea and the land. And it's just, you're much closer to moving into that new space, right? Like there are two different spaces and they're very close together on a beach being, you know, that piece of imagery. So when I'm thinking about the chameleon lives in a space that is very vibrant and full of life, but it's right on the cusp of something else, right? Like the chameleon lives in that right on the edge sort of environment. And so I could see that coming through in the end as well as like, with the chameleon and you not being able to find it at the end of the dream, I don't think the chameleon was injured at all. And I don't think the octopus ate it. The chameleon left and it's on its way towards that new cusp, right? Like it's on its way towards that delineation point. It's on its way towards transformation, towards moving between two different locations. And it's almost as if you could go and try and find the chameleon. Where is that point for you, right? Like, where is that point where you shift completely from this one space that you're in into that new experience? Where is that point for you, right? And I don't have an answer, but that could be something for you to continue.
No, I think that's going to continue to come in its own way, because I feel like I've been shifting a lot of thought process and connecting things differently up here, but not just in this space, my heart space. And for those who can't see the video, I'm pointing to my head and I'm actually placing both palms on my heart. It's this connection to the heart space that expands my mind. And I ask for that all the time.
I got chills. That, I mean, well, and bring the pink color back into it, right? That pink octopus, that emotional intelligence, and that love for self, right? That's really coming through. The heart space as well, being the center of the, you know, there's tons of different chakras in our body, but the seven traditional ones, you know, that's the central point. That's the gravitational center, right? That holds us in this space, in this human experience as a whole. And so when we think about that, right, like that's a really powerful space to be settling into and to be experiencing as you're stepping into a new experience, right? Like, oh, I just love this so much. I love this. This is a fantastic dream. That's a powerful message as well. The one about time, and I'm just going to come back to it briefly, but like time being our most abundant resource. If any of our listeners take away anything today, that is the message of right now. You know, whenever you are listening to this is when you're meant to listen to it or hear it. But that message is very powerful in this time. And time has been coming up for me a lot lately as well. I'm one of those people personally where I'm always five steps ahead of seemingly everything else. And quite often my husband says to me, he's like, well, it's just not on your timeline, right? And so I have to
Oh my God. Okay. Like when you talk, I get these images come in too. And it's like, when you're saying it's not on your timeline, like, yes. So much, because it's like something's not on your timeline. And I think that dream that about time, you just made it come back because I couldn't remember the first half of that dream. It was showing me like people on different timelines, and my timeline's over here. It's okay. That's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing for other people to be on different timelines. You're on yours. Focus on that. And time is blessing you.
Consistently. It is consistently blessing you. Okay. I'm going to back off of what you just said, because that scene that triggered another thing for me as well. Right. So we're just exchanging here. But when you're talking about, you know, like other people being on their own timeline and it's okay for us to be over here, there's a way that I've been coming into seeing this recently. So I work a lot with threads. Our last episode where I describe, seeing these connections between all of the different people, even people that you pass in the grocery store, right. As you see them, you can acknowledge their existence, and that forms a thread. It might be a really thin thread, right? But a thread exists. And so when we're seeing people on other timelines, that could also be, hey, maybe they're on this completely other thread system, but somewhere we all intersect. So there's this intersection of time, right? This intersection of different things that we are experiencing. The other thing that's popping up for me as well is, what is it? Okay. The Berenstain Bears. Have you ever heard of that? What is it when one person remembers one thing, but it actually is a different thing?
The Mandela effect. The Mandela effect.
Yes. Okay.
I was just watching a video on that this morning.
Of course you were. Yeah. So the Mandela effect as well, right? When we think about people on different timelines, it's okay for them to be over there. We don't always have to be right, right? Like the need to be right doesn't need to exist because we're in our own timeline. Sometimes we intersect with those people though. There's one Mandela effect that my husband and I see differently. I forget exactly what it is, but when we discovered that, we were like, oh my God, wait, how can you think that, right? And so now we know we used to be on two separate timelines, but we needed each other. Right. So we gravitationally moved into the same timeline space. And so now we're on the same timeline together. Right. But like anybody that you come into contact with, family members, different people, it feels like something else to bring up as well is like when people come into our lives, right, it's okay to let them go at some point. If we need to, right? Like some people only come into our life for a season, right? And sometimes it's because we're expanding into a different timeline than they are. And it just means that the energy is a little different. And if we want to move forward, if we want to step into our new experience, it's okay for us to let go of some other people because they're not meant to come on that timeline journey with us.
Yes, 1000% yes.
Yes.
Easier said than done, trust me, because I'm going.
Oh, absolutely.
Remember I told you like this is encompassing me around. Like I've noticed this change in certain relationships, whether they've been relationships for years or for a few months or whatever it is, it's like I see myself kind of like pulling back a little bit. And those threads you mentioned in energy work, I call them cords, energetic cords that you build with people. I've been releasing those from certain people in my life.
I love it.
And it's just the guidance of release those cords and the ones that are, because I was seeing myself holding on to them. In both my left and my right hand. and holding on to this cords too much because out of desperation of not letting them go on their own timelines, not wanting them to come with me on these timelines, when I had to realize the best form of love I had to do is just let them go. Let them go, because if it's meant for me, they'll come with me. Or we'll meet up in the future, we won't, and that's okay. And I feel like I've been going through this for a few years now because of all these shifts in my life. And it's the struggle of like, hey, when do I let go of this? And it was just more like, no, you have to let these energetic cords go. Clean the ones that are nurturing you energetically and send love to them and release the ones that aren't, and see which ones do come back and will let you know are meant for you. But if it's not, it's okay.
1,000%. A 1,000,000%. Absolutely. And it's fascinating that you're bringing that up as well, because when we are letting go, right, as you said earlier, it is not an easy process. And it's interesting because I, you know, maybe 5 years ago, maybe five, like 4 or 5 years ago, I was in that process where there were a lot of people exiting my life. And it was like, I felt like if I didn't put effort into it, that I would lose them. Right.
Right there. Yep.
And that was the thought process itself that I needed to let go of. Those people were already on their way out. I was just trying to think about, you know, like I think it should be this way, but I needed to let go of that expectation, right? To be able to step back and just say, okay, let me, because I don't even know how good it could be, right? Like how good could it be if I let go of what no longer serves me and open myself up? Like, I can't even comprehend or imagine how good it's going to be, yes. Right? And I'm never going to know unless I try. And so it's interesting to see. Yes. So it's interesting to see because, you know, like I've, you know, that was maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I did like almost like a whole clearing of house, and I ended up feeling kind of lonely for a while. Cause I didn't have a whole lot of friends that I still talk to anymore. And, you know, I was in the middle of this huge family shift as well, you know, and like letting go of a lot of other family members that, you know, had been, you know, I just experienced some really negative things with. And I was like, okay, now I feel pretty, pretty alone. Like there's still some people here. And now, like over the last year or so, those like new relationships have started entering my life. So if I can tell our listeners anything as well, I have personally gone through this, right? Like I have let those go. The loneliness is real. It is difficult, but then you can start to rebuild. And the people that are coming into my life today are fucking magical. They are just like the most magical human beings I have ever met. They inspire me. I feel like I can talk to them about anything, right? And like fully in my fullness, right? Like I am in a spiritual sector, right? Sometimes it's really difficult to just talk to random ass people about some of the stuff that I see and feel and think on a daily basis, right? And so,
Yes.
And so to start having those friends coming in and being able to share this experience, it's building it and multiplying it even more. So if anybody else is going through this as well, who might be listening to this episode, know that it does get better. You do move out of that state, but you have to let that state go in order to open yourself up to what is coming. Yeah. Right.
And it looks different on everybody. I just want to share that too.
Yes.
Like you may be angry and let them go that way. You may be sad, crying, or it might be a Wednesday afternoon. You're in your living room just contemplating life and it just comes to your mind. But regardless of whatever space you're in, just know that the moment that you let go, what's meant for you, it will always be for you. And what's not, won't be. But don't put yourself through the struggles of things, because coming firsthand for me, I started to have to learn who is showing up for me so I can show up for myself too. Who is filling my cup while I also fill theirs. And then when you pay attention to who is and isn't filling your cup, it's easier for you not to fill up cups that aren't in your favor either. And I know a lot of people are like, well, they've always been. No, it's time that you do yourself the service and you recognize who is filling your cup and who isn't. And that was from my first ever Reiki session with somebody here in town who had told me that. She goes, you need to surround yourself with more people who fill your cup. It's really important. And when I did that, things started to shift naturally outside of me. And I didn't realize what I was doing. Even now I look back and I said, oh my God, that really turned me 360. Like,
yeah.
Or 180, let's put it 180, like the other side. And I could not fathom how much change I was calling in by just changing that mindset in my head and really letting people, when people show you who they are, believe them. Do not make up stories to try to understand. That's something from I can go on a whole talk on this, but that's from like our childhood, because we wanted to understand our parents. We wanted to understand the adults around us. We wanted to understand what is going on, so we would create stories to try to understand people. But this is your responsibility as an adult now. You don't have to create those stories anymore. Let people show you who they are and believe them. And the moment you start to believe them, it makes those cords letting go so much easier. It allows you this freedom within yourself to say, okay, they are who they are. I'm going to do it. Don't create stories. Don't create narratives. Just watch them and believe them.
Yes. Yes, 1,000%. This has been such an amazing conversation. Thank you
Yes,
so
girl.
much for sharing your dream today with me, Lizzie. I think we should leave our listeners with that last message. That's powerful.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much to all of our listeners. Have a great and wonderful day, and I'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you're interested in dream interpretation services or to check out all of the other stuff that I'm doing, go ahead and visit my website at souldreamexperience.com. You can check that out in the description of this episode as well. Don't forget, we have our 21-day Let's Get Dreaming Challenge starting on Monday, October 2nd. You can find that sign-up information under the Let's Get Dreaming tab on my website. While you're there, feel free to check out the blog or take a look at my Patreon as well. I hope you have a great week, and I'll talk to you soon.